Hi, it's JC. Let me tell you what happened. There was no podcast yesterday because there was a technical problem. The technical problem was that dumbshit here forgot to send the podcast to the server. So I started getting calls and messages and stuff going, where's the podcast? I'm like, what do you mean, where is it? And I checked, and sure enough, yesterday I realized, oh, dumbass forgot to send it to the server. Now, the problem is that yesterday's podcast was really good. So when I realized all this, I was like, well, I don't want to just throw the thing in the trash. So here's what's going to happen. You are going to hear big chunks. It won't be the whole thing, but big chunks of yesterday's podcast. And then when that's over, I'm going to come back at the end and update you for Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2023. Got all that? Great. Here we go.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Grandpa wore his suit to dinner nearly every day. No particular reason, he just dressed that way. Brown necktie and matching vest, both his wingtip shoes. He built a closet on a high back porch, put a penny in a burned out fuse. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on the level, shaved even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war. Well, he used to sing me Blood on the Saddle and rock me on his knee, and let me listen to the radio before we got TV. Well, he'd drive to church on Sunday, and he'd take me with him too. Stained glass in every window, hearing aids in every pew. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on a level, shaved even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war. Now my grandma was a teacher, went to school in Bowling Green, traded in a milking cow for a Singer sewing machine. Well, she called her husband Mister, and she walked real tall and proud, and used to buy me comic books after grandpa died. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on a level, shaved even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. How you doing, kids? You are at jconthewine.com. That, of course, the great John Prine, one of the guys we lost due to COVID a couple of years ago. John Prine, one of the most amazing songwriters, one of the most amazing performers, and one of the just darn most interesting people ever to walk the face of the earth. A guy was delivering mail in Maywood, Illinois, west of Chicago, as a young man, and writing songs in his head while he was delivering mail. And managed to get himself a spot, you know, one of those things where at 1 o'clock in the morning, one of the clubs in Old Town in Chicago tells him, okay, you know, you've been hanging around with this guitar for months now. All right. We'll give you a gig. We'll give you a spot. 1 a.m. Be there. And so at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, you walk out there. It's like comedians too. You know, that's the way it works. You have to fight your way on. So I guess he did okay, and they started giving him better start times, And one night, Roger Ebert, as in Siskel and Ebert, who obviously worked out of Chicago, was roaming around in downtown Chicago and made his way up into the Old Town area and just happened to be in a club one night when John Prine was performing and just said, "Who is this guy? This is amazing." And wrote an article. I think the title was, I want to say the headline was, "I've seen the future of folk music and its name is John Prine." And pretty soon, everybody was going to see this guy based on the recommendation of Roger Ebert. And the next thing you know, songs like Hello in there, which for my money might be one of the top 20 or 30 songs ever written in the history of music. And so many other, and you know, he was able to, you know, sing in metaphor. So you think you're hearing something, you assume that the song you're listening to, that you're following along with, and then something happens in the storyline of the song that makes you go, "Man, I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming." He got real sick in later life, and his face and neck and everything were all disfigured, but he was still out there performing and still winning Grammys and still leaving us songs, so that when he finally did pass away, I guess it was 2 years ago, got COVID and it took him out. At least we have the music, and from time to time, you will hear stuff here, but we'll deal with all that a little bit down the line. Today is tax day.
Now, to get the surtax, you subtract it. Total from Schedule G, page 3, from line 24. And you add line 1G, plus line 15, less 6%, whichever is greater.
If that comes as a surprise to you, then you're going to have an interesting day. 49% of people in a poll said they'd rather serve on jury duty than do their taxes. And if they could avoid taxes forever, 22% would give up sex. And 10% would clean prison toilets for 3 years. Who the hell's putting that survey out? In another survey, 62% of people say they file their taxes as soon as they get their W-2 and other forms. 27% say they hire an accountant to do it for them. 6% say they're doing them tonight. 6%. Wow. 2% say they file for an extension. That's easy to do, by the way. You just file an extension. You buy yourself another 6 months. That's just for the paperwork. If you owe money, you still have to send that in. And if you don't pay an estimated amount now, you'll owe interest on the unpaid tax. So they get you coming and going. People hate the process of doing taxes. Nobody worse than me, by the way. I despise it. And I itemize because I have a lot of business expenses. So I itemize and I got an accountant and but you got to remember, it's your money. It is your money. And if you have legitimate business expenses, why are you just going to let the government take your money? And then just overall, sort of general and in principle, I don't think people would mind taxes as much if they thought that the money they were paying for taxes was going to the right places. Right now, you pay all this tax money, and a lot of people think, why do we still have potholes all over the place? Why is this government official making $180,000 a year? I paid all this money, not really seeing any results. Oh, yeah, you know, the water filtration system is still working, and we still have power, and we still, well, I pay for that, too. That's not really the government or tax money going into that. So private companies. Where's all this money going? Everybody's on the take. Everybody's on the take. Stephen Hawking, he said it. Said, this civilization, the democratic system that we've established in this country that's been in place for the last 250 years, is going to come down. And it's going to come down because of two reasons, greed and ignorance. I've never heard anybody nail it better than that. We're all worried about foreign terrorists, whether or not a giant meteor is going to hit us, whether somebody's going to get a dirty bomb and wipe out half the planet. No, I think it's going to be self-inflicted. Stephen Hawking was right. People who have a lot of money, it's the only thing they're interested in, just getting a lot more. And then the ignorance part. I mean, look at all the people buying into the stupid lies that, and I'm not just picking on one political party. I'm talking about all of them. But you have a situation where people are believing all of the things that have been proven to be untrue and then challenging the idea that the earth is round at the same time and in the same breath. You got a problem. One of the things we have to worry about is weather. First of all, they now say there were 8 tornadoes, not 7. They added one in Festus from over the weekend, so it's 8 tornadoes. The sirens were not heard in South City for a lot of people. And they're running around trying to figure out. And I always get nervous about stuff like this when the people from the city go, look, it's like a 60-year-old system. We're surprised it works this well. See, and now you go back to the taxes thing. And you're like, well, now, wait a minute. We're paying all these taxes. We already know our FAA situation is in shambles. The system that they're using up in those towers for the air traffic controllers, the system looks like it was designed by a couple of 15-year-olds back in 1965. Don't tell me the system's old and that's why we're having problems. Tell me why the system hasn't been replaced. Then I would say this was probably about 15 years ago. Maybe you remember this. Somebody came up with a bright idea that if there's a legitimate tornado warning, let's just say a legitimate tornado warning for St. Louis County, set off the alarms. Woo! You know, there they go. Sky is turning dark. I hear the sirens. We better get inside. But somebody decided that when there's a tornado warning for a certain county, that each adjacent county should also go under a tornado warning and should also sound the alarms, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, because tornadoes, almost all of them move from the southwest to the northeast in almost all cases. So why, if there's a tornado warning in St. Louis County, would you sound the alarms in Jefferson County? The tornado can't turn around, back up, and go the other way. All you're doing is causing a lot of concern for people who should have none. And then the other thing, you get the boy cried wolf thing, too, because somebody's driving along in Jefferson County and the sun's out. I don't even see any clouds. It's got maybe way off into the northern distance. And they're like, well, that's not even anywhere near us. And they're right. So now you get people, when they do hear a siren going, it's a bunch of bullshit, because you don't know if it's a legitimate concern of yours or not because of what I just said. It just sounds like some sort of city administrator, some governmental official somewhere who doesn't have any idea how things work and frankly doesn't know the first thing about weather. But anyhow, they're saying in South City, we didn't know. And now more good news. We have another slight risk of severe weather on Thursday. Well, there's going to be two waves, almost like the other day, one in the morning and then one, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon. The Cardinals are off on Thursday. It's a travel day. They're going to be going to Seattle. So once they finish that game with Arizona on Wednesday night, there's not too much to worry about in terms of a large crowd down at Busch Stadium. And there's going to be a lot more room at Busch Stadium pretty soon. If we don't start winning some of these games that were in our hands, last night, Pallante comes in and he doesn't miss a bat. Pow, pow, pow. It's like that game on Saturday. We were like, how the hell did we lose this game? Now, all of that ties into this next story, and I've told this before because a lot of people didn't know about it. This goes back about, I'd say, maybe 15 years, and this was when Senator John McCain was still alive. And there was some situation involving an overturned tractor trailer or a train or something like that that had some hazardous material, and the first responders were like, we got to evacuate this whole area. Everybody's got out of here. This is like noxious gas here. If people breathe this stuff, they could get really sick and some of them could die. So we got to alert everybody to evacuate. Maybe it's only going to be for a couple of hours until this dissipates, but we got to get people out of here. So they start calling radio stations to inform them of this and ask them to broadcast it. And you guessed it. Nobody answered the fucking phone because there wasn't anybody there. See, this is the dirty little secret. You can run radio stations, for the most part, out of a broom closet now. I have a nice setup here with a control board and all this equipment and everything like that. But truth be known, and in fact, when I have to travel and do the show or do the podcast from a remote location other than what I have here in my home, all I really need is a laptop, a microphone, and a tiny little mixing board. And the truth of the matter is, I could probably even get away without the mixing board. And so that's what people are doing. That's what people are doing. So these officials, these city government people and first responders, are all trying to contact these radio stations and nobody's answering the phone because nobody's in the building. The computers are running stuff all weekend long. There's nobody even there. And apparently this got back to McCain and he was like, Wait a minute. These radio stations are supposed to be operating in the public interest. You know, you always hear about that. The public interest. They are, in fact, licenses to make money, but the government likes to be very pious about all this stuff when you start talking about radio and television station licenses and the fact that, you know, you have been given this wonderful opportunity and you must serve the public interest. And McCain sort of went ballistic on it and was going to start rattling a lot of cages. And then one day I stopped hearing about it. So either McCain was told this is not a problem, you can't fix this, or a nice fat number was written on the check. Let's just leave it that way. I mention that because automakers like Tesla, BMW, and Ford, and those are some pretty big companies here, okay? Ford, they're opting to cut AM radio from new models. So you're going to buy a car, it won't have an AM radio in it. And the AM radio stations, of course, are, you know, all of their lobbyists in Washington are like, hey, don't let them do that. They, of course, argue that AM plays a vital role in emergency systems and the most reliable way to communicate critical information, but not if nobody's there. And then also some of the engines that they're using, some of these, for lack of a better description, space age car engines interfere with your ability to get a clean AM signal. In other words, something in the engine is messing with the AM signal and you try to listen to it and it's all staticky. But that does not appear to be the large part of the problem. The large part of the problem is that AM radio is considered to be no longer needed, no longer necessary, no longer essential. And guess what? On Saturday night, our friends at the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Del Mar Gardens, KMOX, had a similar display of incompetence during one of the worst storms we've had come in to St. Louis in quite some time. I was provided yesterday with a detailed account of what KMOX sounded like in the late afternoon, early evening, when in an attempt to make it sound like they were covering the progress of the storm and also trying to warn people that the thing was still in the area and could hurt you, it sounded like a Saturday Night Live sketch where everything that was supposed to work didn't. And you heard people talking in the background, and people didn't know they were on the air when they were, and people who thought they were on the air weren't. And then they call some guy in Pennsylvania who's got a weather station there, and he's trying to predict the weather in St. Louis. They have, like, nobody locally working on it. One poor woman sitting at the microphone in the KMOX studio trying to do all this herself, and apparently it just sounded like hell. And there's one other really important element to the story. People were told about the impending storm almost 3 days in advance. So it's not like this came as some surprise, because you have that sometimes. You know, you're just sitting there on a Saturday night and you're like, oh, we're going to have some storms. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Look at this. This thing's really blowing up. Look at this. We're getting hail. We're getting reports of debris. We're going to have ourselves a tornado. Okay, that happens sometimes. It's happening less and less because the equipment that the meteorologists have now is much more sophisticated and able to tell us much more. But so that does happen, and then you could understand it. But not in this case. Not in this case. The bosses are like, Saturday night, hey, I got tickets to Wicked. Do the best job you can. And then when they come out of the theater, people are like, you the guy running KMOX? Yeah. Well, your station sounded like shit tonight, and it didn't help anybody with anything. That thud you hear in the background is the sound of KMOX dropping the ball. Again, it's happening more and more and more. You know, this was, what was the year, 2011 maybe? I'll take a stab and say 2011. And it was New Year's Eve. And we were on at that time from 9 to noon, I believe it was, on an AM station. It was me, and it was Trish, and it was Sean Balint, one of our news guys. We were the only three people in the building. And the night before, I had seen that there was a possibility of some severe weather in St. Louis. And when I got to the radio station, I started watching the radar, and sure enough, this thing was coming right up 44. And we were getting reports of, you know, as the storm would go through, the police departments would come out and go, man, we had like baseball size hail and we had funnel clouds and the whole thing. So the storm had a history of producing this stuff. All you had to do is look at the radar screen and look and go, the motherfuckers headed straight for St. Louis. And sure enough, we're reporting, we're giving these updates. Like I said, we were on 9 to noon. We are giving these reports along and go, this thing is really headed towards St. Louis. I mean, right at us. And it's big. And if you'll recall, it produced the Sunset Hills tornadoes, the ones that went right past the parking lot of Helen Fitzgerald's. And it did terrible damage. I remember we were actually involved in a fundraiser down there a couple of months later. But it really rocked the place. And it was just three people, but it was three people who knew what they were doing. I didn't get this nickname Twister Boy for nothing. That was the station, by the way, that without our knowledge took the recording of that show, edited it down, and then sent it in for consideration for a Missouri Broadcasters Association award for spot news coverage, and won, and they didn't even tell us about it. They didn't tell us they were sending it in. They didn't tell us we won. We found out like a year later. Swell bunch of folks over there, huh? But again, Thursday, slight risk again, so be on your toes. And as far as the AM radio, shall we say, industry, you're getting what you deserve. All it is this extreme right-wing poison. Well, I need AM radio because most of the baseball games are on AM. Stream it. Or listen to the game on AM radio and then go back to a decent radio station. But it sort of brings up a larger problem because some of these, I guess the word is institutions, like these big 50,000-watt AM stations known for their news and their information, are becoming less and less important to the point now where the word obsolete is being used. It's the same thing with newspapers. You know, the big deal always used to be, did you get your name in the paper? You know, I got to St. Louis in 1984. I always pick up Jerry Berger's column, see if I made it in, see if anybody was saying anything about me, see if anybody was writing some nasty shit about me or making some ridiculous accusatory nonsense, trying to get attention. And I always get a kick out of it. And also, it was a good way to just find out what was going on in the city. And Jerry Berger was an amazing guy. I knew him very, very well. We would talk a couple of times a week sometimes for many, many decades. We would talk for a couple of times a week. And he would never say, how's your mom? He would say, how's Marge? He never asked about my dad, but he had met my mom a couple of times, and these two really hit it off. How's Marge? But now? Well, first of all, they were never able to replace Jerry Berger. You know, they didn't have anybody in the bullpen. And when Jerry died about, 2 years ago, well, he retired. I'm talking about when he retired. When he retired, the Post-Dispatch just basically said, well, there's a big whopping $450,000 salary. We don't have to pay anymore. Well, who's going to do the job? Well, nobody. Nobody's going to really do the job. We got a couple of reporters, and they're out a lot. Just have them do it. But fuck, do I need a newspaper now for anything? No. All right, I do. For starting the charcoal on the grill. In terms of just general use, anything that I want to read about, I can find somewhere else. And in terms of, you know, my selfish perspective on personal things regarding career, do I need my name in the paper? For what? Honest to God, I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time I physically held a Post-Dispatch in my hands, and it's got to be 10 or 12 years. The fucking thing looks like a pamphlet now anyhow. I'm convinced most people who still have newspaper subscriptions have them just because it's force of habit. Well, we've always gotten a paper. They don't even know why they're getting it anymore. Or it's because of the sports coverage. Because the sports guys at the Post-Dispatch actually do a pretty good job. And historically, they've had some really, really good sports writers. The Hall of Famer Rick Hummel, Bernie Miklas, Derek Gould, Ben Hockman. Now, I think he does a great job covering the Cardinals. And he's a good guy, too. I like him. I like Ben. I'd see him in the press box all the time, and I was still going up there. But everybody keeps talking about radio dying. Well, radio's dying. It's like, you know what's dying? It's almost dead. It's newspapers. And local news has also been taking a dive. Network TV has been taking a dive. And radio on a weekly basis still hits about 86% of the overall audience. about 86%. Okay, it used to be 96%, but 86 is still good. Newspapers and network TV are nowhere near that. I think I saw something a couple weeks ago where, oh gosh, it was something about for the first time ever, I wish I could remember what it was, something that traditionally had been on TV, more people will now see it streaming. I can't remember what it is. I have to look that up. My memory is fading here. But it's just something to sort of keep your eye on. It's a developing story. And when Ford, all right, Tesla, BMW, frou-frou, I get it. Ford says, yeah, no more AM radios. And it's too bad, too. The other thing that happened was over the years, we used to get these really good AM radios. People will remember these. Do you ever have a car where it had a Delco radio in it? And you would hit that thing and, man, it sounded almost as good as FM. And then somebody said, well, it's only spoken word and there's no music on AM anymore. So there's ways to broadcast AM radio and save a ton of money by cutting way down on the fidelity that comes out of the radio itself. So we're going to start putting these really cheap ass radios into cars. And that's what you get. I'd give anything for one of those Delco radios, though. Man, were those things great. Not a lot to listen to. I don't know if you remember this back in the middle of 1980, and I don't want this whole podcast to be about radio geek stuff. This is just more interesting than anything else. If you were around in the mid-80s, and I still remember this because I had a Toyota Celica, and one of the things that was a standard in this car was AM stereo. AM stereo. And for a very, very brief period of time, KMOX and a couple of other AM stations, I don't think many did it, but you had to have a special radio, and that's where most people said, no, the whole house is full of radios. I'm not buying a special radio just so I can hear Bob Hardy talk out of both sides of his mouth. Fuck it. And AM stereo, just one day it just sort of went away. Now, you know, for the last, oh God, 15 years now, they've been pushing this HD radio. You're going to Best Buy. They don't even know what you're talking about. Going to Best Buy sometime and go, I'd like to buy an HD radio, please. You know what they'll say? You mean satellite? No, dummy, not satellite. But that's what a failure that's been. It's a handful of HD radio stations across the country, and I mean a handful that even show up in the ratings. Well, it's only been 15 years. It's going to catch on one of these days. Sure it is. Sure it is. This thing between Ron DeSantis and the Disney Corporation, I can't tell if it's just tragic or if it's hilarious. I sort of go back and forth. It's so juvenile. The people involved in this whole thing have the intellectual capacity of the cast of Porky's. This is, you know, DeSantis is now saying, well, you do what I say, Disney Corporation, or, and that, honest to God truth, he says, I'm going to build a prison right next to Disney World. I'm going to build a prison. I'm not even really sure what that's supposed to do, if that's supposed to scare people and say, well, there's a prison right there. I don't want to go to Disney World. Is that what he thinks is going to happen? If there is a prison break, you know where the safest place to be is? Right next to the prison. Because if you're trying to get away from prison, the first thing, maybe the only thing you're thinking about doing is getting the hell out of there. Get as far away from the prison as possible. Sounds like some murderer rapist is going to break out of Ron DeSantis' prison next to Disney World and decide to go, you know, to Epcot. God. Oh, this guy. He looks like Shemp to me. Ron DeSantis looks like Shemp. Thursday is 420. We will celebrate appropriately. Tomorrow, well, how do I bill this? How do I, well, I said just say what he is. What'd you say if tomorrow you're going to hear from a guy who is the manager of one of St. Louis's newest and most successful wine bars, but in addition to doing that, he also plays on the Israeli baseball team and played in the World Baseball Classic. Dude's got some range, you know. So we're going to have the guy's name is Shlomo, and he's going to be on the show tomorrow. Getting closer and closer to this coronation of King Charles. It's going to be on Sunday, May 7th. They got Lionel Richie and Katy Perry performing for the whole thing. The Philadelphia Eagles signed quarterback Jalen Hurts to a five-year, $255 million extension. Makes him one of the highest-paid players in the NFL, but Deshaun Watson's deal with the Cleveland Browns is bigger in terms of guaranteed money. Ray Romano had to have a stent put in because of a 90% blockage in his heart. He says he should have gone on meds 20 years ago to deal with his cholesterol, and now he regrets that he didn't. See, that's what happened to me, too. Sources say Yellowstone will end after the second half of season 5 because Kevin Costner can't get along with the show's creator. No word on when it'll start filming or when it will air. All right, Ana de Armas hosted Saturday Night Live over the weekend. She'll pop up with Jimmy Fallon tonight. Luke Bryan on Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux. James Corden has Sharon Stone. TMZ posted body cam footage from first responders at the scene of Jeremy Renner's accident. Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly and Bob Hart's Abishola has lost 150 pounds. James Corden's final Late Late Show going to be Harry Styles and Will Ferrell. There's a new trailer for a movie called You Don't Know Me. It's on Netflix. It's a documentary about Anna Nicole Smith. And here's something funny. Representative George Santos, who never met a lie he didn't like, has introduced a bill that would establish a development period for new vaccines, and he named it after Nicki Minaj. Remember her vaccine skepticism due to her cousin's friend's swollen testicles? So George Santos is going to say, all right, everybody's dying. Everybody's getting sick. We have a pandemic. The pharmaceutical companies have been working around the clock for months to get a vaccine out. They got the vaccine. It's ready. Just roll up your sleeves and... Oh, wait a minute. Representative Santos says we have to have a mandatory waiting period of a year. So, die on. Birthdays today, America Ferrera, 39, Miguel Cabrera. Oh, Ferrera and Cabrera. This is the Tigers MVP, 40 today. Courtney Kardashian, 44. Melissa Joan Hart, 47. Conan O'Brien is 60. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace is 60. Jane Leaves from Hot in Cleveland and Frasier, 62. Eric Roberts, Julia's brother, 67. Rick Moranis from SCTV and Ghostbusters and Spaceballs and all that sort of stuff is 70 today. Haley Mills, Let's Get Together, yeah, 77 today from The Parent Trap. California earthquake happened on this date in 1906, 5:13 in the morning, 8.3 on the Richter scale, 700 dead, 250,000 left homeless. First game at Yankee Stadium on this date back in 1923, 100 years ago today. First laundromat opened in Fort Worth, Texas on this date in 1934. Albert Einstein died age 76 on this date in 55. I remember this. The Disney Channel started broadcasting on this date in 1983, 40 years ago. It was one of the most successful new ads onto people's cable packages ever. Everybody wanted Disney. Joe Montana retired from professional football on this date in 95. Robert Blake's thinly veiled murder plot against his wife, Bonnie Lee Blakely, happened on this date in 2002. And Dick Clark died of a massive heart attack after having some sort of outpatient medical procedure the night before. He goes home and checks out. He was 82. 30 years ago today, I still remember it. It was a beautiful Saturday spring afternoon, and I spent the entire day inside with a seminar Lamaze class. I don't think we used any of it. Honest to God, don't think we used any of it. On this date in 2013, my wife and daughter arrived in Houston, Texas for good. We moved into our brand new house the next day. Moved out less than a year later when they changed the format to hip hop. And one of the more interesting things ever that's happened to me happened on this date in the year 2000. And it requires some background. People who are in the broadcast business, and many of them listen, I hear from you guys and you women all the time who listen to the podcast and enjoy it, and that makes me happy. But when you're a young broadcaster, and for me, we're talking about, let's see, what year would this have been? 1977, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I get off the air at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there are four women in cars in the parking lot waiting for me to come out. because they want to get a look at the new guy. A couple of them were not bad. And also back in those days, it was mandatory that you work the phones. Work the phones. So you go, here's Debbie Boone, and You Light Up My Life. Yes, I got stuck playing that. And then immediately you would take your headphones off, turn off your microphone, and start answering phone calls. Hi, what's up?
Is this JC?
Yes, it is.
Would you play Undercover Angel?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. But every once in a while, just every once in a while, hi, WMEE, who's this?
My name is Phyllis.
And it would go on from there. And you'd be talking trash to Phyllis, not having any idea what she looks like. And to make a very, very long story short, yes, you would set up a meeting point. And 99.99999999999% of the time, you're like, uh-oh. Just not anything you'd be interested in. Not that I was, you know, Brad Pitt or Tom Selleck back in those days either, but, you know, these, I believe, were desperate women, and probably women, by the way, who had done this before, just called up radio stations, especially when somebody's new, talk some trash, see if you can meet them. It was never a good idea. Like I said, 99.99999999% of the time, bad idea. However, is that 0.00000001% of the time where she shows up and you're like, get out of here. Stop it. You are not the person on the phone. Just, you know, knock out stuff. It happened to me once in Chicago. I still have the girl's picture too, because sometimes even I don't even believe it. And then once in Fort Wayne, and that went on for a while until I found out she was lying to me about her age. Dodged a major bullet on that one. But, as I said, on this date in 2000, it was one of those things where it's like, listen to JC's broadcasting live from the Station Casino this afternoon from 4 to 6, and stop by if you want. And I'm standing out in front of the casino, you know, doing the show, and this astonishing-looking woman comes walking up. She looked like one of the baseball players' wives or something. We are talking natural blonde. We are talking huge blue eyes. We are talking significant, and I mean significant, sweater meat. And she comes walking up to the table where I'm broadcasting from, and all I'm thinking is she needs directions. She thinks I work at the casino, so she's going to come up and ask me a question. I'm not going to be able to answer it, but I'll have some fun with her anyhow. Well, that wasn't it. She was there for me. And in fact, we did date and had a reasonably serious relationship for a while there. I still remember Karen Kelly and Brian McKenna, who I used to share an office with. This was back in the KLOU days. We were doing mornings at Clue. They both used to refer to her as Jessica Rabbit. And if you ever saw her, you'd know why. And it really sort of dawned on me, because I guess I have had the good fortune of being able to have dated some really, really pretty girls over the years. But this is the kind of one that would walk into a restaurant and the fish in the fucking aquarium would stop swimming. Jessica Rabbit, on this date 23 years ago. You might notice that I have excluded any discussion of the Fox News versus Dominion trial, which is scheduled to begin today. It was scheduled to begin yesterday, but they asked for a delay, and they say they're going to do it today. Hold on one second here.
Jones, to a degree, and now this one. Speech in the internet age, the law lagging behind technology is creating this scenario. What am I seeing? I am seeing real-time evidence where, at the very least, the personnel reporting the information is memorializing their apprehensions with the truth of what they're putting out there, the truth of what their guests are saying, balanced against this idea that in a media market that's, you know, being measured by clicks and in certain electronic metrics, they're looking at competition and what are they putting out.
The fuck is this guy talking about? He must be a lawyer, because I didn't understand one word of that. All I know is $1.6 billion on the table, and from everything that I heard last night, it sounded like the reason that Fox wanted the delay is because that they were probably pretty close to a deal to keep it from going to trial. All they were trying to do is figure out the final details. In other words, they had probably agreed on a number, you know, how much money they were going to really get out of this. But then also it's the little points And supposedly Dominion was demanding that all of the Fox News hosts issue on-air apologies. And that must have been the sticky wicket, because they're trying to tell like Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and people like that, all right, you're going to have to go on and admit that you're a fucking liar, and you probably have to do it more than once. And of course, that will be on the internet forever. And I got up this morning and they're like, yeah, it looks like it's going to trial. So apparently they couldn't sell Sean Hannity and the rest of the hosts on that idea. But you wouldn't believe how many lawsuits are avoided literally 5 or 10 minutes before they're supposed to go to trial. You've seated a jury. The judge is ready. The prosecution, the defense, everybody's ready. You come walking in. Courtroom will open in 5 minutes. And all of a sudden you see a little huddle with the two sides talking, the two lawyers representing each side. And they go, all right, we have a deal. I still can't believe that Fox is going to allow this to go to trial. I cannot believe that they will risk this. They are in so much trouble. I don't think it's going to happen, which is why I saved it for the last story, because I was hoping that maybe by now we would know one way or the other whether there is going to be a trial or not. And right now they're saying there is. Boy, you got me. You got me. And finally, crime writer Ann Perry. Perhaps you've read one of her books. She died at 84. Her cause, she write these like murder, she wrote these crime novel type things. People just gobble them up. Anyhow, her cause of death is listed as either her butler, her ex-husband, or a son who stood to inherit a fortune. Please tune in again tomorrow for another exciting episode of As the Stomach Turns. I'm McDonald Carey, and these... Never mind. Hey, that's it. We're done. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, April 18th, 2023 is in the can. And so there you go. We're back here on Wednesday, the 19th. The day they're supposed to be here. I'm sorry for all of that, but it was a pretty good podcast. You got to understand why I didn't just throw that away. All right, so we have a slight risk of severe weather in the St. Louis region tomorrow. Okay, so some of the stuff will kick over late tonight, but it's pretty much tomorrow, and doesn't look terrible right now, but it is going to get your attention, and then it's going to take a big nosedive, and it's going to be pretty chilly for the next couple of days. Well, like I said, you heard it in the podcast yesterday. There was no way that thing was going to end up going to trial, and I was right. I was the one who told you that it was never going to go to trial. $787.5 million. Those lawyers, they do stuff to really get in your knickers. It's like, all right, how about $787 million? That's a lot of money, okay, guys? That's a lot of money. $787 million, what do you say? And the Dominion lawyers say, 0.5. Put in an extra $500,000 just because we want to piss you off. All right, 787.5. And Jake Tapper's doing the story for CNN yesterday, trying to keep a straight face, reading Fox's official statement, which, quote here, our continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards, end quote. Yeah, I didn't think there was a chance in the world that I'd ever be reading these words, but Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin, remember him? The guy who basically died on the field the Monday night game last fall, is planning on making an NFL comeback, and all of the doctors are in agreement. They made a point of saying yesterday that it wasn't like it was, four doctors said yes, but one said no, or three said yes, and one said no, it's not a good idea. They made a point of stressing the idea that everybody said it's fine. So Damar Hamlin got to be back on the field. I wonder how long it's got to be before he messes up a play and the Bills fans start booing him. Welcome back. Boo, you suck. All right, NASA says a decommissioned satellite that weighs about 660 pounds is going to fall back to Earth today. There's only a 1 in 2,500 chance of it crushing somebody. They call those chances low. 1 in 2,500? 1 in 2,500? I think those chances are pretty good. So I want to look up a lot today until we find out where this thing came down. Netflix shutting down its DVD by mail business in September. after 25 years. They're also phasing in their paid password sharing plan in the next few weeks. All right, tonight you got the second season finale of Abbott Elementary. That is at 8 o'clock on ABC. Late night, Michelle Obama on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Patrick Stewart. Elizabeth Olsen on with Colbert. And Jennifer Garner pops up with James Corden. I never thought I'd be saying these words either. The Menendez brothers. Remember those boys back in Southern California about, 25, 30 years ago, who killed their parents, claiming that their father had sexually assaulted them? Well, some guy who was a friend of the family and says he was also sexually assaulted by Lyle and Eric's father has moved forward in the story, and there might be something to this. Could these guys walk? We'll see. All right, birthdays today. Maria Sharapova, 36. Comedian Ali Wong. She's a dating Bill Hader now. That's a big story in Hollywood. She's 41. Kate Hudson, 44. Only 44 years old. Wow. James Franco, 45. Ashley Judd, looks like hell, 55. Suge Knight, 58. Tim Curry, had a chance to interview him a long time ago. He was in Home Alone 2, but he was also reprising his role in the Rocky Horror Picture Show that was coming into the Fox Theater. This was, oh my God, years ago, late 80s. And they sent me to Colorado, to Denver, where the show was being performed, and St. Louis was going to be the next stop. So I got a free trip to Colorado out of the thing to go see the show and interview Tim Curry and then bring that back and try to hype it when I was at Channel 5. Tim Curry, 77 years old today. Might want to stay out of federal buildings today. In 93, David Koresh and a bunch of his followers set the place on fire. And then 28 years ago, in 1995, that was 2 years after the Branch Davidian thing, that's when those dopes, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, blew up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. 168 people dead in that thing. Like I said, I'd stay out of a federal building today if I could manage to pull that off. Back on this date, 1993, I was emceeing for Jay Leno at Westport. And also on that same day, Bob Hardy from KMOX Radio checked out. He was only 63. It's amazing he lived as long as he did. I never saw the guy without a cigarette in his hand or his mouth. I went to work at KMOX and all that stuff started happening. Bob Hardy checks out. Nan White gets shot by her husband. Ann Keefe retires. I'm going to tell you this. You can think I'm making this up. I'm not. There were people who wrote to the radio station insisting that it was because they had brought Satan into the building. Guess who Satan was? Hey, Beelzebub, let's party. And Clint Eastwood is going to direct his newest movie. He is 93 years old. Though it makes sense when you find out the title of the movie is Reverse Mortgage. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for not only Wednesday, April 19th today, but also yesterday, Tuesday, April 18th. So see, you really weren't cheated out of anything, were you? You got bonus material. As a matter of fact, you got like 20 extra minutes of stuff here today. But don't worry. Somebody will complain. Somebody will complain. Now, ask me if I care. All right, that's it. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at 11 a.m. when I remember to send it to the server. JC at jconline.com is my email address. The Showgram with JC Corcoran on Facebook. Have a great day. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you then. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.